Hey everyone, it's great to be with you today. You know, I remember as a kid, my parents would often ask me to do something like do the dishes or clean up something. And they'd always ask me right when I was watching TV or playing with my toys. And I'd always respond with a, okay. But after they finished speaking, they would ask, did you hear what I said? Now, obviously I said yes, because I did hear them. But then they would ask, well, what did I say? And then I'd be stumped. Because while I did hear them, I didn't understand them. It's a pretty good parenting tactic and one that I've started to use with my own kids as well. But I wasn't the greatest listener then, and it's still true even today. I'm not the greatest at listening. My wife Amber will tell you that it's still one of the areas I need to work on. We'll often get into a disagreement about something, and after going around in what feels like circles and circles, she'll say, "You're hearing me, but you're not understanding me." Have you ever been there? Where you've been talking to someone, but they don't fully understand what you're saying. Or maybe on the reverse, where you're having a conversation with someone, but you're not really paying attention because you're thinking about something else, maybe a task that you have to get done later that day. There's a big difference between hearing someone and understanding them. Because hearing someone is to take in the mechanics of sound, but understanding is to allow those sounds to move into our hearts and into our minds. Jesus talked about the importance of not only listening, but of understanding him when it came to his message as well. He describes some of the things that get in the way of us really fully understanding him. And these things don't just get in the way, but they actually prevent us from flourishing into the people that God created us to be. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells a story about a farmer, some soil, and some seeds to drive home his point. And so for a few moments, let's read this story together in Matthew 13. Beginning in verse 3. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, Jesus is known as being the greatest storyteller of all time. And over the last few weeks, we've been exploring some of the well-known stories that Jesus told in a series called The Parables of Jesus. Now, parables or stories is one of the main ways that Jesus used to communicate something important about God. But his stories didn't just leave people laughing or with warm, fuzzy feelings inside. His stories often left people deeply challenged and often confused at times. Now, this story isn't just random agriculture advice that Jesus is offering to us, but there's a meaning behind all of it. You see, farmers build food. They build fields and crops to sustain themselves and to feed the world. And similarly, God is building something, but not a farm. He's building a kingdom, a world where mercy, grace, and love exist. And how is he doing this? It's through an embodied message, the message of Christ. And this is the seed in the story, because it's as the message of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection spread in the world that this new and beautiful world can grow into existence. But even with the farmer and the seed, there's another element that plays a part in this narrative, and that is the soil. Where you plant things matter. The ground that things are grown in impacts the outcome of the seed. And similarly, our hearts function as the soil in which Jesus' message either flourishes and grows or shrinks and dies. So for our structure today, we're going to move through and look at the different soils or the different responses our hearts offer to Jesus' message in light of his explanation of this parable. He begins with the first soil in verse 3 by saying, "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path." So as this farmer is scattering his seed, some spills not onto the soil, but onto a path or a sidewalk. And unprotected from the earth, this seed is left exposed and eventually gets eaten up by the birds. Now, even someone who doesn't know that much about gardening like me knows that planting seeds on a gravel path or on a sidewalk isn't going to be very productive. A path is intended for walking. It's not intended to receive seeds, but instead to receive the feet of travelers. And it's possible that this soil or this path is the person whose heart is built to receive the flow and movement of other people rather than Jesus. It's a person who isn't able to take in Jesus because their heart is orientated in a different direction. You can almost describe this heart or soil as being the closed heart. In a world where other human beings are labeled as influencers and trendsetters, this is a path that is drawn to the message of other people rather than Jesus. So much that the life-giving message he offers isn't received, but instead it's discarded. You know, a marketing company called Visual Capitalists put out this graphic which shows the top 50 social media influencers in the world today. Now on the list are celebrities, musicians, athletes, and politicians. But what's remarkable are the number of followers each of them has. 517 million people following Cristiano Ronaldo, the soccer player. 455 million following Justin Bieber. 342 million following Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. And what's mind-blowing, even a bit scary, is that these are the people that are shaping our world. And in the complexity of human life, I'm not sure that The Rock and Justin Bieber are the best people to be shaping our culture. But that's the world we live in, where other voices guide and shape us in powerful, powerful ways. And we're all being molded, shaped, and educated, even indoctrinated by something, whether we realize it or not, whether it's culture, music, or our peers. Someone once said that every time you watch the news, you're being baptized into a new religion because we're constantly being given a narrative on how to build our life and how to live this thing called life. And God desires for us to flourish, to grow, and to live lives of meaning and purpose. But it doesn't happen in this soil because the heart is trying to find life in a place that was never intended to give it. This soil doesn't understand the life that Jesus is trying to offer. At first read, it sounds like the farmer is foolish for spreading seed on a path. But Jesus's point is that the issue isn't the farmer, it's the soil that's the issue. He goes on to describe the next soil by saying the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now this seed actually makes it into the ground, but the problem is that the soil isn't deep enough for the plant to flourish. It doesn't have enough space to grow long, rich roots that can reach down for water. And as a result, it can't withstand the intensity of the heat. This soil could be best described as the shallow heart. And I'm sure most of us have people in our lives that we know at a distance. They're people whom you might know at work, your school, or maybe just living in your neighborhood. But you know them more or less on a superficial level. You chat about the weather, news, and you keep the conversation pretty light. And you can recognize that those relationships only go to a certain point. When you run into a crisis of some sort, you're very unlikely to reach out to those superficial relationships because those relationships haven't been built in a way that can support you during a challenging time. And Jesus is saying that might be true of our relationship with him. We may have a very shallow relationship or understanding of him and his message and only know him on the very surface level. Maybe that we see Jesus as a good and moral teacher who helped people. But that vision of Jesus doesn't help much when life is at its worst. When we lose our job, when we lose our health, or we lose a loved one, we don't need a good moral teacher. We need something more. And it's when we see Jesus as God in flesh, who came into our world and suffered not only for us, but with us, that we're able to endure hard times. It doesn't make suffering any easier, but we're able to walk through the dark moments in our life knowing that we walk with a God who has walked the very same path. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. was a man who knew a great deal about trouble and suffering. He had been unlawfully arrested multiple times, his home had been bombed and he was stabbed, and he and his family had received multiple death threats. And in talking about his own trouble, he wrote these words. He said, "There are some who still find the cross a stumbling block, and others consider it foolishness. But I am more convinced than ever before that it is the power of God unto social and individual salvation. So like the Apostle Paul, I can now humbly yet proudly say, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, The suffering and agonizing moments through which I have passed over the last few years have also drawn me closer to God. More than ever before, I am convinced of the reality of a personal God. Imagine the suffering Martin Luther King Jr. endured, but yet that suffering and intensity grew him closer to God. And that type of faith and trust during difficulty doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen when God is kept at a distance and when we haven't done the good work of cultivating a friendship with Jesus. But it requires a willingness to go deeper in our friendship with him. And it's there that we're able to navigate pain with him. Jesus goes on to describe the third soil. In verse 22, he says, "The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful." Now this seed's growth is inhibited, not by the soil, but by the company in the soil. Growing with this seed are thorns and weeds that are growing with the seed. And these thorns and weeds take the nourishment away and suck the life out of this growing plant. These thorns are described as the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. And this soil can be best labeled as the distracted heart. You know, one of the reasons why police officers enforce distracted driving laws, because you can't drive and text at the same time. Your attention is going to be divided. You'll either look at one or the other, and you'll likely end up injuring yourself or others. And the same is true when it comes to our hearts. This heart is unable to flourish because it's distracted. It's distracted with worry and with the pursuit of wealth. Now, worrying is something we all do. We do it because we care. But the problem with worry is that it feeds us the lie that life is all up to us. It puts a tremendous amount of pressure on us to figure out our life on our own. But we were never created to withstand that type of weight of trying to navigate the weight of the world on our shoulders. And similarly, Jesus points to the pursuit of wealth as another type of weed that can inhabit us, that can distract us. Not that money is bad, but in the pursuit of a certain income level, a home, or other things, we end up on this endless chase that distracts and pulls us away from the life that Jesus comes to offer us. You know, one of the ways I've seen this play out in my own life has been with my kids. You know, often I'll be thinking about all the things I need to do in the day and start to feel overwhelmed by my day. And in that moment, my kids will come to me and ask me to play with them. But even while I'm playing with them, my mind is still racing elsewhere. I'm still thinking about all the things I have to do. And often my kids will look at me while playing with them and say, "Can you play with me?" And I'll say, "I am playing with you." And they'll say, "No, you're not." See, my kids can see right through my distracted mind and they try and call me back to being fully present with them. One of the most regular tasks of a gardener is to weed and to prune. Because if left alone, weeds will suck up all of the nourishment from the soil. They'll overcrowd the roots and they'll take away from your plants or vegetables. They'll take away from them growing and thriving. And this is the warning that Jesus gives, that if we allow ourselves to get distracted by the demands, needs, and even the worries of life, it'll suck out the very life that he longs to offer us. Well, finally, we come to the fourth seed or the fourth heart. The fourth soil or the fourth heart. Jesus says this in verse 23. "But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." Now this soil can best be described as the flourishing heart because this is a good picture of what Jesus has come to do. This in here, we see what happens to a seed that's planted in good, healthy soil. It flourishes, it sprouts, and he begins to grow rich roots that eventually produce a crop that has a yield. Here you see a picture of what life is meant to be, a life that's taking off, that's rooted, and that's growing, that's blossoming. But how does this happen? Well, in verse 23, Jesus says that the key to inhabiting this type of soil is by hearing and understanding. Notice that all the other soils have heard the message, but it's only this one that understands it. And as a result, it flourishes. Understanding is the key. But what does that mean? Well, the original word that Jesus uses here can sometimes be defined as putting things together, almost piecing things together like a puzzle. You know, when I was a teenager, my first job was doing landscaping. And at one house, we had this job of creating a new garden bed for the homeowner at the time. And before we began the job, we had to first survey the land. We had to figure out if we could actually do the job, if we had the resources, the materials, and even the team to pull it off. And once we had done all the prep work, then we did the hard work of digging up the ground, pulling away the weeds, laying some barriers for the bed, and then adding fertilizer. And only when all of that was done was any seed or plant placed into the ground. But the very first thing we did was first survey the land and ask, can we do this? And it doesn't require that much work to grow in a relationship with Jesus, but it does take a moment to survey the scope of who Jesus is and to ask the question, can I do this? You see, Jesus had entered into the ancient world and was not only healing and helping people, but he was announcing the coming of his kingdom, a kingdom where he sits as king and ruler, and where all people are invited to enter and to be a part of this kingdom that's ruled not by power, force, and captivity, but a kingdom that's ruled by love, gentleness, and sacrifice. His message is an invitation to enter into the kingdom, but he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. To understand Jesus is to consider his invitation for life, which involves letting go that part of us that tries to figure out life on its own terms. It's not easy and it's challenging at times, but as it's shown through the seed here, it leads to flourishing, to a flourishing life that we were intended to live. If you've ever had a garden or grown your own vegetables or have a fruit tree maybe in your yard, and if it's producing well, you know that you can maybe rarely keep up with it at times. That to eat all of the vegetables and fruit that those trees and gardens produce is a lot. And so what typically happens is people will start to give away carrots, lettuce, or garlic to neighbors or to family because they can't consume it all. And that's a good picture of what Jesus does in us. When we fully understand him and his message and see him as Lord of our lives, we start to flourish and thrive in a way that not only blesses us, but blesses everyone around us. It has this ripple effect into our homes, workplaces, and our communities. And this is the type of kingdom that Jesus is building. One where he is with his children and his children flourish and live out in this abundant, overflowing love for all. The truth is, at any given moment, we can move between these different soils or exhibit them all. But as you think about these different hearts that Jesus portrays, which one most resonates with you? How do you view Jesus and his message? Is your heart closed? Is it maybe not deep enough? Or is it distracted? God is the generous farmer, sowing seeds into our hearts, and the invitation on offer for all of us is to receive him so that we might experience the flourishing life that he comes to offer. Would you pray with me? God, we look to you as the giver of life, and we confess that we so often turn away from your words and turn away from you, that we so often look to other things to try and satisfy the depths of our souls. But as we've read in your words, pray that you'd give us hearts that not only hear you, Jesus, but that fully understand you, and that by your Spirit we might grow and flourish into the people that you've created us to be. We ask this in your name. Amen.